All right, we're getting ready to start here in the house. Just give me 1 second. Let's get the screen up. All right. Hey, we're getting ready to start Blog Talk Radio here in just a moment. We got our screen up. I'm having just a little bit of fun technical issues. You know, you got to love this when you do this job. But praise the Lord, we are here. We're going to get ready to get started and bring you into a live experience with Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum, and the 14 events. Okay, we're getting ready to go. Cameras ready? All right, all right. I think we're here in the house. I want to officially welcome you to Before the Garden. All right. Welcome, my Wednesday warriors. Yes, to this edition of the book club. We're doing the 14 events that brought you Christ and Christianity from our wonderful read, Before the Garden, God's Eternal Continuum, written by the one and only Dr. Paula A. Rice. And so we're excited that you have decided to join us for another live session. Yes? Well, they're excited in the house, and I know that you guys are getting online right now. You're grabbing your books, you're grabbing your coffee, and you're grabbing your cozy chair, and you are ready to jump right on in with us and continue the journey that we've been on together. It's been great, hasn't it? God has been showing up. Revelation's been showing up. And what's most important is that you all are showing up every single week. You are among the diligent that are seeking him. And so go ahead and share this with your friends. Hashtag Wednesday Warriors. Invite people to be a part of tonight's session. God wants to talk about some explosive things. We've been talking about how he created the world, how it all began, the beginning of the beginning. Amen. And it's so great to know the author and the origins of our faith. Is it true? Yes. Yes, so share, giving you guys a chance to get on and get settled where you are in your respective places. I know I have quite a few people that are jumping on with us, and I'm so grateful that you are continuing this process. Lord knows. You know, there's so many times that, you know, people just camp out on God. They just fall out on him too soon. When it comes to the deeper things of when he wants to reveal the deeper things about his nature and his character, we kind of do almost like what they did to Jesus in Gethsemane. We knocked out sleep. We can't wait 1 hour. No, we gone, Jesus. What? Lord, yes, we are with you. We are with you. We are here. It's kind of like that, isn't it? You know, when you're trying to plow into the deeper things of God, as the water gets thicker, when you climb higher in God, it gets thicker and thicker up there. There's a reason why the Israelites were like, Moses, you go, okay? You go get those words of life, and then you come back and share those things with us, because it takes a kind of committed saint to really want to go behind the veil. See, God doesn't just let anybody behind his veil, just like you don't let anybody into the secret places of your home. How many people are going to invite somebody to the home and then tell them exactly where all your safes are and then what the locks and codes are? You put things in a safe because you want to keep them safe. You want to protect them. You consider them valuable. Well, God considers what he has valuable. Despite what you're hearing in the world, despite what people are saying about God on TV and the hatred of that is in the hearts of men because of the gods of this world, despite what you see and hear about that, God loves himself and God values what he has. It is a prized possession. You know, Dr. Price said something powerful on the ABCs of Apostleship. If you had a chance to check out that episode last night, if you didn't, go back and come on. Yeah, you guys, come on. Love, 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 love. You guys can go back and check that out. But she said something so powerful about Jesus Christ being a guardian, that he was guarding the gate to God. Oh, come on. And that the whole concept of him being the way, the truth, and the life, and the door, and all of that was not just so that he can open himself up to us, but also that he can close off anything that would do them harm. Oh, come on. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He is heaven's guardian. And what I love about her talking about doors is she said that doors open and close. Now, doesn't the book of Revelation say that he can open a door that no man can shut, and then he can shut a door that no man can open? and that no matter how much you try and no matter how much knowledge you have, there are certain doors in God that you just can't open arbitrarily. Is it true? She read from John 6, which is one of my favorites, that talks about Jesus Christ revealing the Father to whomsoever he will, that he chooses. Jesus Christ is choosing who gets to know his Father. Oh, okay. We don't think about that. He's choosing who gets to know him. This is why you can have various people who will sit down and read the same Bible you're reading, go to the same church you're going to, experience the same life in worship, kind of like Judas did, and yet get nothing. Why? Because Jesus is choosing whom he wants to reveal his Father to. Why? Because he considers his Father valuable, even if you don't. Heaven considers what they have as precious, even if we don't understand it. Oh, okay. Come on. Let's get on. I'm just giving us a chance to get online before we jump into our lesson today. This is our precursor. This is our foretaste of glory divine. Before we jump in. But it's important for you to know that because you have people causing you to risk your salvation and causing you to diminish and devalue God because you're buying into Satan's propaganda that God doesn't consider what he has valuable and that he's not purposefully and strategically concealing and revealing what he wants us to know. Oh, come on. The Bible is the most open, closed book you'll ever read. Why? Because it has guardians. Because we said the word of God is what? Living. See, you're looking at paper, but as far as God's concerned, everything written there is alive. It's living. And it has living guardians to ensure that only those that want to know, only those that can love the Lord their God with all of their heart, with all of their mind, and all of their soul, get into the treasuries of the kingdom. Come on here. He talked in parables to keep people from tapping into the kingdom treasure. That's how much of a guardian Jesus Christ was about his Father's possessions. Oh, come on. He did not reveal everything just out in the open. And we're wondering why some people get it and others don't. We'll talk about that more when we get into the section on the elect. Oh, come on. Because God elects who will know him. Oh, okay. I don't know. God elects who will know him. Come on and get your coffee on that. That's a sip time. If you got your coffee, your favorite drink, you might be at dessert. If you're on the East Coast, you might already be having your dessert in front of you. Come on here. That deserves a little taste of something. Because people make you feel like that because people, other people don't get God, that there's something wrong with God. No, God's making a decision. Uh-oh. Are we supposed to say those things? But God's making a decision. There's a reason why Jesus Christ didn't even announce himself as God, but waited for the Holy Ghost to reveal it to those they elected. John 17, but of all the people you chose for me, come on. I kept everybody you chose. Everybody you chose, though. I kept everybody you chose. So if there are people not being kept by God, we are talking about predestination if you're just joining us for the first time and how God already foreknew. He made decisions to reveal himself based on what he already knew. If you guys could go back in time and look at certain people in your life who you know did you dirty and did you wrong and had an opportunity to know ahead of time what was in their hearts, tell me you wouldn't have made different decisions and had a plan in place. Who would have not planned for that? Oh, come on. Is it true anyhow? Because God has guardians around redemption because to him it is precious. To us it's an option. It's one of the many choices that are out there. But to God it is precious. And the fact that you know him today is a precious thing, is a privileged thing. Yes? And not just an inalienable right. See, we make it because it's so free. You know, freely given, freely received, you see. It's so free that you almost don't realize that it's precious. That you know him. that God makes sense to you, that is waived, connect with you, because there's so many people that it doesn't. And you know what's even more interesting than that? That God's okay with it. Because we make you feel like that he's crying and on the wall begging for people. If you could just understand me, no. If this man can confuse languages in people's mind, you think he can't make himself known and understood? The Bible says that he opened up the scriptures so that they could understand, the disciples and the early apostles could understand him. So God can make you understand anything he wants you to understand. Oh, come on here. But see, he's not looking at just your understanding. He's looking at the condition of your soul, the condition of your heart, the desires of your flesh to make a determination if it's worth it. Oh, come on. Don't we pick and choose? We wait. Well, most people, if you are a child of wisdom, you wait to reveal certain things about yourself, right? Who opens them, their whole heart up on the first meeting? There are some. Okay, I will say there are some. But Proverbs says that only a fool bears his whole heart. Is it true? It's true. So a lot of times we don't understand that about God. We just getting started. You know, we're waiting for our peeps to get on, to join us in and be a part of our live session today. But it's important for us to recognize, amen, it's important for us to recognize that what you've been given, this opportunity to know God, the fact that this thing works for you and clicks for you is by design. It's not just by decision, meaning yours. It's by design. Oh, okay. We're going to talk about that today, how it's by design. The fact that you know God, you understand God, that the mystery of godliness has been broken open to you is by design. Yes, you have been designed to be a Christian. Oh, come on here. Because otherwise we couldn't do it. Didn't he say that in John chapter 1? Come on, he had to give us the right, the power to become sons of God. Because we don't have it within ourselves to know him. We don't have it within ourselves to love him. We don't have it within ourselves to be faithful or loyal to him. He has to give us those abilities. That has to be granted to us. Even the ability to repent. We saw that with Pharaoh. Come on here. Y'all with it in the house. So Jesus Christ is a guardian over salvation and over the door and over who has access to his Father and who has access to the corresponding revelation. If there are certain things that God knows that you're not even ready to understand, just like your parents do, they lock it away. See, things that we know that kids can't handle, we put in places that they can't reach. Okay. We put things in places they can't reach until we get into that age and place of maturity that we not only can comprehend it, but we can value it. We can respect it. We can treat it right. The more you treat God right, the more you get into his treasury. And that's what people have been messing over a lot with us in this culture-crafted Christianity. Would y'all agree in the house? That the culture-crafted Christianity is robbing them of experiencing true glory of God. God saves his glory for those who love him, those who agree with him, those who want to be like him, not those that are trying to change him, vilify him, criticize everything that he does, criticize every choice he made, criticize every minister he has in place. You don't necessarily open yourself up to those people, do you? You save your treasury for your friends. Dr. Price preached a powerful message one time about favor, and she said that favor means that you are a favorite, and that in nobility times, when you were the favorite, you got special privileges and special things that weren't given to the common, that weren't a part of the common distribution. See, there are things that you can get from God that are not a part of the commonwealth. See, a lot of the blessings that we're going after and we're satisfied with are just a part of the commonwealth. These are the things that go with and accompany salvation. They're part of the commonwealth, but there's something above the commonwealth, okay? There's a treasury. There's a place in God above the common and above the average that you can tap into, and he reserves those for those that love him. Oh, come on. See, he poured out his spirit on all flesh. Remember that? The two outpourings. But there's a different outpouring for his manservants and his maidservants, those that will draw near to him and can love him as he is. We want God to love us as we are, but are we ready to love him as he is in the fullness of who he is? There's still so many things that God has to hide from himself because we have not grown to the place of maturity and even been taught in a place of maturity to enjoy and respect about him. And those are where the secret treasures are. Those are where those secret, those are where those unusual miracles are that Paul can rock. Come on here. Those are in those different realms of him. Y'all all right? We got more people coming in the house. Y'all just joining us online. We are doing Before the Garden. And we're talking about how precious it is to know the Lord your God. See, you have to understand what it takes to get behind that veil. That's not an inalienable right either. You're an American citizen, and most of us have never seen the Oval Office. Now, granted, they let you go on a little piece of tour, honey, and they show you what they want to show you about the White House. And the things they don't want to show you, you don't ever see. So you can be in God's temple and come on here. You remember how the temple is even structured. He had priests for every section. No, you can touch this, and you can't touch that. Oh, come on. Because God considers himself valuable. This man struck out and killed a guy who was not appointed and anointed to touch him. We remember the story of Uzzah. Because God considers himself valuable and precious. And if you want to get into the place of stepping into God's true favor, which is not just, you know, those fly-by things that come with the commonwealth, you have got to step into that place of valuing who he is. And not allowing the world to teach you how to devalue your God and diminish his worth. We serve a king. Oh, come on in here. Is that okay to say? We serve a king. And we forget those aspects. Now, we'll say it and sing it, but when it comes to our service, we want to diminish it. Lord knows I've been busted. My God, God had to remind me of who he was. And the closer you adapt your ways to who he is and how he likes to be served and how he likes to be dealt with as the King of Glory, the more power you will see in your life, real genuine potency and power in your life. He said without holiness, we can't even see him. Because that requires that you value him. You can't appreciate God's holiness unless you really value who he is. Otherwise, it's like a yoke and a noose around your neck. And nobody, he said, I don't even want an offering that comes grudgingly. I don't want your tithes to come with the grudge. So I don't want your conformance to my ways to be grudging either. Right? Is that okay to say? Christianity is not a slave religion. God's not going to enslave you to serve him. This ain't conversion by the sword. Okay? He's a let whomsoever will. He wants the willing people. Yes? He wants the willing people. All right, y'all ready to get into the lesson? See, that was just our little precursor. We were just giving our family a chance to get on and join us for this edition of Wednesday Warriors. Yes? Oh, come on. It's all right. Today we just want to talk a little bit about Jesus. All right, so chapter 6, we are still in chapter 6. We're going to be moving forward here to get to the last portion, which is on the elect. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about that. But we've been talking about predestination, the afterlife, and that. Our hot topic was dealing with let there be earth. How many of y'all remember that from last week? Dr. Price has the ability to just lay out some sentences and say some things that just send you into a whole nother place and a whole nother thought process. All right, our pop quiz for today is what came first, the spirit or the flesh? All right, my class is on it today in the house. They said the spirit. And where did creation begin? In the... All right, and what manifestation of himself did God use to create the world? The Holy? Yes. And we're talking about how everything began as God, as he is, according to his image and likeness. We're often wondering how we could all look so different but all bear God's image and likeness. But he's not just talking about the outward appearance of your flesh. He's talking about the things that are most like him that came straight out of him, your soul and your spirit. Quote of the night, God is spirit, so everything he made is also spirit. Yes, we're still in the house. All right, things that make you go, how God made the world by his spirit. We're going to do that. We're going to talk about Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Today, we're going to take the time to go ahead and actually read those. So if you have your Bibles and you're on with us tonight, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. All right, I'm going to switch screens. I know our screen's a little dark here tonight. Yeah, I need to do that first. We are always working on our technological things. Praise the Lord. All right, but Genesis chapter 2 is what I'm going to have on the screen in front of me, and you can have that on the screen in front of you. Okay, this is what we dealt with last time, talking about the spiritual versus natural creation. Y'all hanging in? All right, this is going to be a little technical tonight. Always got to warn you because, you know, I know we want the inspiration. We'll get inspired, I'm sure, because God's word is inspiring. I'm always inspired. All right, Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and heavens, before, and always underscore before, any plant of the field was in the earth, and before, underscore before, and any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of good and evil. And then he talks about a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from it, and from there it parted and became four riverheads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold is of the land is good. Bedlam and the onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, I think. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden to tend and keep it. And then the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die. Okay, and then of course he went on to talk about how it was not good for man that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him out of the ground. Okay, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he could call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to himself. And the Lord God caused the deep sleep to fall on him, because he couldn't find this out. Okay? Caused a deep sleep to fall on him, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Now, what was interesting is that the woman's existence started when? As a spirit on the sixth day. And God waited for Adam to ask before he put her inside of flesh. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And there they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Okay, and we're going to come back to why they were not ashamed in another aspect of before the garden. Because Dr. Price goes all the way in and through, okay, in this book. My God, today. So what's interesting about this is that if you go back up into the higher verses, it says that God was finished. God was finished, and all of his works were finished, and everything was already made. Yet he goes about with Adam doing what? Because he says, what? We had no plant, we had no man, we had everything, we had nothing, but yet the earth is made, and the heavens are done. We don't have anything. Nothing's here. Not even Adam. But he's finished, and I'm done. Okay? God's resting. All right? Woo, I'm done. I need to rest. That was a lot. Rest on the seventh day, and yet what happens on day eight? Everything is now getting a body to match the world that he made. Y'all with me? So everything, God's, his hardest labor was pulling everything out of himself. Because remember how we started this last week. God is what? And you have to worship him where? You can't even just do it in the spirit. You have to have the truth, because there's a lot of lying spirits, because a lying spirit is what started this problem, didn't it? A lying spirit that kicked off in heaven is what caused us to have the knowledge of tree of knowledge and good and evil have to be in the garden. See, a lying spirit was up in that tree. So you can't just worship God in the spirit. You have to also worship him in truth. You have to know the truth of who God is, and then have to be willing to accept that truth, because a lot of times we know it but don't want to accept it. What did he say in Thessalonians? He said, but look, I'm going to send you a strong delusion. Because what? You rejected your truth and wanted to believe a lie. Oh, come on. Because why? The spirit of the truth, okay, and the spirit of the lie are both in that tree now. Come on. He said, I got the spirit of life, and now I got the spirit of the knowledge of good and evil. So that lying spirit, that father of lies, is now in the garden in our world. Both spirits are present. So Adam couldn't just know God after the spirit. Oh, come on here. He had to know God after his truth. Oh, come on. Because life is based on truth, or truth is based on life. They work together. You can't have one without the other. Because the false is not going to sustain. The false is designed to do one thing, be a temporary delusion. Oh, come on. The false is designed to create a mirage for the sake of deceiving you. Oh, come on. Satan can't sustain anything that he's brought into the existence in this world. That's why it's fading and passing away. That's why God is killing it. He said, all of the machinations we're living down here are nothing but delusions, delusionary options you have to the truth. So if you want to reject God's truth, he has a delusionary belief system for you. Oh, okay. He handpicks your delusion. Y'all don't believe me, do you? Going to Thessalonians. Come on in here. We could go to Thessalonians. I don't mind. It's all right. It's okay. Because sometimes, again, I told you, God is going to guard salvation. Did we not start this thing talking about Jesus Christ being the guardian? He is going to guard salvation. And he has a lot of weapons and a lot of means of guarding salvation, and one of them is a delusion, and the other one is the sinister sifter. Oh, come on in here. See, he uses Satan to guard the way. Oh, come on. He said, broad is the way to destruction, and narrow is the way to life, and he's got guardians for both. Oh, come on. We'll look at strong delusion real quick. Is that all right? Because we don't think that, we always wonder why God lets the other gods and other religions stand, and here's why. Y'all right? If I can get the computer to cooperate with me, y'all all right? Because you want to know, because you think that, okay, I used to walk around afraid of the fact that there was so many different belief systems in the world. I really, when I was in college, I had a real fear. I was accosted by everybody on the college campus. You could just imagine. They, okay, you stalked by everybody, preaching every kind of God and every version of Jesus Christ you can name. And I was like, my God, how do you know who's right or wrong? Okay, hold on. Let me see if I can find this real quick, if I can just spell it with these creature features here. Okay. I think it is, but I just wanted to make sure. Yep, see, pulled up. 2:10. So we're going to 2 Thessalonians 2:10, okay? And if you can see the screen, great. If not, you have your Bibles right there in front of you. And so I was scared for the longest time until I realized that everything in God's world has its place. And when you know what God's place is for everything, you no longer have to live in fear. You can live in wisdom. You can live in knowledge. You can live by understanding. Oh, come on. But that's why the enemy wants to keep you ignorant of those things and ignorant of his practices and ignorant of his weapons, because he knows if he can do that, he can keep you making panic and fearful decisions. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't go to that church no more. Oh, maybe I shouldn't serve God no more. Oh, maybe that was never God. Maybe that was God. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm in the devil. And you are in panic and fear. But that's why God says perfect love. That's why God says perfect love. Cast out all fear. Because when your love is perfected towards God, you are not afraid of anything. You can always tell where the barometer of your love is by how much fear and panic is still in your life. We'll talk about delusions. Is that all right? So let's talk about this thing. I'm going to go back a little bit here. This is starting at 10, and I'm going to back up to the beginning of that statement so we can just get the whole picture. And that's all right. And we're going to wind it in. Okay. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one, I want y'all to think about lawless one for just a moment. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all what? Power, signs, and lying wonders. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Does anybody see some powerful things in that passage right there? Now, we're going somewhere, because this is why you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not enough to know God is a spirit and be in the spirit and have spiritual encounters. You have to know the truth. Why? Because the lawless one. See, we've got a new trend out there of preaching against anybody who wants to uphold God's law. Well, there's people out there who want to be all legalistic and all teaching about the law. But what does he tell you is going to take down the world? The lawless one. Oh, okay. Did he just say that? Because, see, when we say things, we don't know it. We don't think about what they mean. So I don't want to be lawful. Then that means that you want to be moved by the power of the lawless one. Which he said what? He said according to the working of Satan. Anything that inspires you to want to disobey and literally, okay, obliterate God's laws is an inspiration of the demonic world. Breaking the laws of God. He said in John that sin is lawlessness. He didn't say it was hatred and this and that. He said it was lawlessness. Why? Because it started with somebody disobeying and trying to misconstrue and frustrate his laws, make their own laws against God. Come on here. Lawlessness. 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 They told Dr. Price she was too governmental. Why? Because she wants to make sure that she can serve God in truth. She can serve God lawfully. Oh, come on. If you're going to serve him against his law and say you're walking in his truth, oh, come on in here. Somebody answer me on that. I don't know. Is it just me? Is that weird? Is that a weird thing? I know it's true, but is it lawful? Now, there's a law for everything in God. There's a law for darkness, and there's a law, and there's laws for light. So there's laws for everything in God. Darkness has a law. In fact, darkness has a lot of things, didn't it? Darkness has power. Darkness has signs. Darkness has wonders. Oh, come on in here. They're fully supplied. This is a fully supplied system. They have their own doctrine. Oh, come on. We talked about those doctrines of devils, which means they have doctrine. Think about what a doctrine is and where doctrine comes from. That means they have their own system of revelation. They have their we're not just dealing with knowing something is false or true simply because we believe it or don't believe it. It has an entire infrastructure, just like your faith, the Christian faith, has an entire infrastructure that goes with it. Come on, we have signs that follow us that believe. Come on in here. We have all of those things. We got a Bible. We got a revelation. We have knowledge. We have all of this is in the infrastructure of our faith. So when we talk about doctrines of devils, you are not just going to run up on some demonic spirit that's just trying to lay you out. No, it has a whole entire doctrinal belief system. There is a whole systemized theology, if you will, for them as well. They have their own belief system. Oh, come on. They that worship him. Spirit. Truth. And if you what? Decide not to worship him in truth, what does God now do? He sends you a strong delusion. A strong, not just a delusion, a strong one that you will believe it. He sends you what he knows you will believe. God will send you the God he knows you can believe in. And if it's not him and somebody else, he will send you that God. You will be seduced by that deity. If it's Buddha, we'll send you Buddha. If it's Allah, we'll send you Allah. If it's Brahma, we'll send you Brahma. Oh, come on. They are there to be alternatives to Jesus Christ. So that if you do not want to serve him and you do not want his wisdom, you don't want his truth, you don't want his life, you have other options. Now, you don't have other outcomes that you may like, but you do have other options. Oh, come on in here. God didn't wipe them out because they're supposed to sift you. They're supposed to sift you and see if you are God's material. Oh, come on in here. Whosoever will. This is a matter, we all boast about our free will, but this is how God uses your free will. Oh, you don't want me? Well, then here are all the alternatives to me. I'm going to send you all the lies. All of the offspring of the father of lies will come see you. Oh, come on. All of the offspring. They're the gods of delusion. Oh, come on. Is that all right to say? They are the gods of delusion. And so a lot of times you think that we run in God, and God's like, are you kidding me? I got options for you. You don't want me? Here's somebody else. Okay? You don't want to do Jesus Christ? Then you can do this. Now, I'm not going to give you my privileges and my power and my authority and my access and any of those kind of delights from my kingdom because you over here with this other guy. Now, you're not going to get any of that stuff from me, but I'll definitely give you the option that you can live with. I'll give you the God that you like. Come on in here. There are alternatives. This is why you have to serve God in the spirit and truth, because these are all spirits. And they all have specific assignments, and they all have a specific place, and they all serve a specific purpose for Jesus Christ. She's going to talk about that in this book. We'll be getting to another chapter when she talks about the devil. I don't know if anybody's ever read that one yet. My God. Y'all, we going all the way in, and we're going to pray we come out. Because it's a serious thing. Because we've been telling people that all of this freedom of expression and all this freedom of exploration and all this freedom of discovery is not planned. We're talking about predestination. God pre-planned your options. Not only your the decisions he was going to let before you, but the options. Not just your decision, your options as well are pre-planned. Oh, yeah, he's too angry to serve me. You go serve this guy. Oh, you too rebellious to do this. You go serve this guy. Okay, so you need all of that. You need all of this sexuality. You go serve this guy. You want to serve your body, you serve this deity. Come on in here. He will send you a strong delusion if you have a pleasure in unrighteousness. Pleasure, meaning that your desires and your appetites are for unrighteousness, and there's nothing that God could say or do that will change them. He couldn't change Satan's pleasure in unrighteousness. He took pleasure in being evil and working against God's law. That's why he is going to motivate and empower the lawless one. Like I told you, every agenda, everything you see in this world is powered by some demonic force. We ain't got that kind of strength. Praise the Lord. He said we can't do it without a spirit. All right. Well, because remember, we're going to worship God now. We got to worship God in his world, which is based on spirit and truth. We're going to get on back into this. Y'all all right? Jesus. So we're talking about how God made everything in the earth. The earth was spirit first before it became flesh. And we went through several scriptures last time, which you guys can have in your notes for review. We won't necessarily do them all, but you can review them. Okay, we talked about John 4:22, which is what we've been quoting tonight. Genesis 1:1-3, talking about the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. Okay, everything began in the Spirit. We said, let me get back on the big screen for you. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. And that was Numbers 27:15-17. If you're just joining us tonight, we're talking about how the earth was made in the spirit first, and that the spiritual precedes the natural, predates the natural, and literally authors it. Can I do it today? Job 26:12-14. That was a little bit of humor for you to keep us awake tonight. See if anybody's listening. All right, so Job 26:12-14. By his spirit, I'm going to read verse 13. By his spirit, he ordained the heavens, and his hand pierced the fleeing serpent, that lawless one. See, Satan was the first lawbreaker. He was the first person to promote breaking God's law. And if the law was not important, why did God have to establish that in Israel first? Why did he just let them live in the spirit and let them just dawdle around? But he gave them Moses' law for a reason. He is the lawgiver for a reason. Why doesn't he just let us go in and just express ourselves in love and stuff? He could have just told Israel, hey, guys, it's all good. Just love one another. Got it? We're done. No, he had to say there were no other gods before him. Why? Why is that the first commandment? Why is that the first law? Why? Because other gods are out here instituting another law. And I don't want another law before mine. Oh. I don't want another law before mine. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Okay, Job 33:3-5, we're going to read verse 4 in particular. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Job understood he was made by God's Spirit. You were made by God's Spirit first. All right, and we're going to do the rest of that passage, jumping down a little further here in Job. Okay, he says, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. The last one, we got two more. Psalm 104:29-30. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Ecclesiastes 8:7-9. We're going to focus on verse 8. No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. We talked about that last time, how you don't have power in the day of death to know what to do with your spirit. Your spirit doesn't belong to you. It's going back to the God that gave it to you. That's important to know. Your spirit is going back to the God that gave it to you. And if you gave your spirit over to a delusion, all right, then the dust will return to this is Ecclesiastes 8, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Because everything started as God is. Zechariah 12:1, okay, thus says the Lord who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. So he gives all that he spoke into existence a body. Let's revisit 1 Corinthians 15:39-41. Y'all with me? All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial one the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So talking about all the different bodies, that God gives a body for every type. There's an angelic body, and there is a natural body for everything. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So God started everything with a spiritual body and then gave it a natural body for the habitat, for the world that he wanted it to reside in. If it was going to stay strictly in his world, it would have maintained a spiritual body. But he wanted to physicalize and manifest something. He wanted a physical world, which is why he formed it. And obviously, it wasn't his first time forming a physical world, because there was some dust already on the earth for him to use. Okay, just saying. All right. Our souls and spirits are not indigenous to earth, inferring why they are accountable to God's immortal laws and answerable to them on earth. We wonder why we are accountable to God's law and why God's law is the highest law and the first law. Why? Because it was the law that made us. Our souls and spirits were not made on earth and were not made necessarily for the earth, which is why they're returning. So the law that is placed upon them is the law of the divine world. So we're still held accountable to the same law as them angels who were also spiritual bodies, because we started as what? Spirit. So we're accountable to the same law of the world in which we came from. Y'all all right? We're accountable to the law of the world from which we came. And the laws of this world came from that one. We'll talk about that right now. So your soul and spirit are not from earth. I have given them your word and the world has hated them because they are not of this. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. God was letting them know, you're not from here. I remember what we talked about from the beginning, that when Adam fell, okay, what we lost at that time was not just our knowledge of God and all of that. What we lost was our connection to our divine identity, because we began in the divine world, and we began as divine beings in God. Y'all all right? So we began as divine beings. So our origins are there, which is why they can call the shots on what we do down here. Because we're from there. See, Earth is what? A satellite. It's a colony. It's an extension. It's God's work lab for us to work out our issues before he decides where to settle us forever. He needs you to work out your soul salvation. He needs you to work out your spiritual self. What spirit you're going to serve, what soul you're going to have, so we can settle you in your proper abode forever. You need to work that out first. You know, I was talking to someone the other day about God's laws and God's rules and how God is just waiting for us to come into the knowledge that he is right and his world works. He put us down here so we can sort ourselves out. Will you sort yourself out and figure out what you want to believe is true and the world you want to live in? We've already sorted that out for ourselves, and we're waiting for you to come into the knowledge of what we know. And so we're waiting for God to change, and we're waiting for his rules to change, and we're waiting for his laws to change, and we're waiting for him to understand who we are. We're waiting for God to do it. But God says, no, no. I'm waiting for you to come to the knowledge of understanding why I was right. So I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to rewrite it. That's why he said a jot and tittle's not going to pass away. Come on, did he write it? He had to write and decree his own establishment and perpetuity in the earth, despite all of the opposition. Come on. Y'all still hanging with me? I know we ain't doing too much preaching tonight. We just going in some technical ways. Is that okay? For y'all to get some technical information on God tonight. Because we need to have that. God is waiting for that. He's waiting for us to come into the place that we understand why he is right and why he is righteous. And in the end, he said everybody's going to understand it because everybody, every knee going to bow and every tongue going to confess. Ultimately, we're going to confess he's right. Yeah, he was right. He's right. Well, I just think that God, no, Christianity's never going to change. Why? Because Christianity's here to wait for the world to say, okay, God is right. Mm-hmm. He's waiting for you to grow up and see that, just like your parents do. Okay, when you're younger, you don't always think that what your parents do to you is right. That's not right. You're ruining my life. You're destroying my world. I'm dying. It's unfair. And it's when you get older and you can make that phone call and say, you know what? Mom, yeah, you were right. I didn't understand it then because we're examining God through our own brokenness and our own shatteredness and all the things that are happening to us. And, okay, just like your kids are viewing it in their own immaturity. When they get older and they understand how the world works and they mature and they get knowledge and they get wisdom, then they can come back and understand or discern righteousness. That's why Paul had to say you have to be skilled in the word of righteousness to use your senses to know the difference between good and evil. If you never get to the place of maturity that you understand God's righteousness, you can't exercise your senses. You can't tell the difference between good and evil. That's why he says delusions are for people who have pleasure in unrighteousness. If you have a pleasure in the unrighteous things, then you'll have a hard time knowing what is and is not God and probably creating a few new things in the midst of it. Well, Jesus said that he would have false Christ. Every false Christ has his own false doctrine. It comes tailor-made with a belief system to secure you in your lie. Knowledge is a defense both ways. I don't know where we just went tonight. Is that okay to say? Because I don't know where we went. I was trying to be in that other place, but God must want us to know some things. But the knowledge exists to secure you in your lie. These people have been out there, these forces and powers and agencies have been out there for a long time. They are not just starting brand new with us. The deceiver is good at deceiving. And he has a lot of weapons of his warfare as well to do it. And he takes advantage of our ignorance about God's goodness and righteousness, just like he took advantage of Adam and Eve, okay, lack of understanding of evil and darkness. For us, the reverse is happening. He's taking advantage of the fact that we don't know our God, and we don't know the great things that he has for us, and we don't know the world that is waiting for us, and we don't know what the end result of this thing really is. And because we really don't know it, we gamble it. We risk it because we don't have the knowledge of it. Knowledge is a safeguard. It's a guardian. Y'all all right? So the question becomes when you're dealing with your salvation and you're dealing with what God is going for, in the end, he's looking now to see how you're going to handle his divine law. He's looking to see how you handle his divine laws on earth before he allows you to roam around heaven. Let's see if you can handle how we live now on earth, in your world, before we allow you to start roaming around our world. Divine law. The Mosaic law began divine, in the divine world. We think that it was an earthly concoction, but that's not what happened when Moses was given that law. It did not come straight from his mind and his thoughts about how humanity should work. Here's what happened when Moses was given the Ten Commandments. Because why? God gave us laws that were what? Appropriate for where our soul and spirit came from. To govern ourselves according to how we were created and made. Is that okay to say? So let's read it together. The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. This is in Deuteronomy. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints from his right hand. Came a fiery law for them. Yes, he loved the people. All his saints are are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your words. Moses commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Jacob. When Moses was on that mountain, he wasn't by himself. God came, and the saints of heaven came to distribute the law of life that they had already been living. They brought their culture of the divine world. Oh, come on. That's why God was like all frustrated when they came and, okay, come on here. And he sees them all tearing up at the base of the mountain and throws down them tablets. He said, wait a minute, we wrote those. Okay? The law came from God's world. And that's why it cannot be so easily annulled. Because it was nothing wrong with how they're living. What was wrong is that our flesh is, work, come on here, of darkness in our flesh prevented us from being able to live as they lived. So the problem is that we couldn't live like divine beings, even though we were held to a divine law. We were being held to a divine law, but we couldn't live like that. Our flesh couldn't take it. It was breaking down under what? The weight of sin and death and darkness. So we couldn't do it. That's why he had to say in John later, look, it wasn't nothing wrong with Moses' law. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to send you a helper. We're going to send you assistance from our world to help upgrade your soul to back to the state that it was designed to be in as a divine being. We're going to send you some divine assistance to help you walk this thing out. That's why he had to put that on the inside of us, not only to guard us from all the things that would try to take it, but come on here, so that we would now have the power to live like we were created to live, which was not the Garden of Eden. It was who we were on that seventh day as we rested in God. Does that make sense? Oh, come on. Y'all all right? How many of y'all enjoyed that tonight? I know we went some different places. Yes? Is okay? Just some wisdom. See, this is all before the garden wisdom that you need to know and understand if you're going to walk this thing out in your fullness. Yes? All right, all right. I want y'all to give God a praise today. What we're going to do now is we're going to go ahead and I'm going to invite Prophet Adia is going to come up and give you guys some announcements. I'll be back to pray with you, amen, because that's important for us to do some prayer and all of those things. But I want you to know, remember, if anything tonight is that, you know, salvation has guardians. And you need to know that what you have is precious. It's not an accident. It's not a fluke. And it's not available to just anyone, that God chose you for a reason. And we'll talk about that more when we come back next week when we discuss predestination's architectural plan, how your life or how you are a Christian by design. Amen? Let's welcome Prophet Adia. Amen.
I'm going to encourage you online to prepare as well. First of all, I'm going to say don't go anywhere because Father Colin is going to be back to pray for you. So don't move, but we want to take a moment to allow you to facilitate and also tell you a little bit about the program tonight. So first things first, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Periscope, well, I thank you so much for joining us. And this is how you can actually sow an offering tonight. We want you to visit us online at paulaprice.com. That's PALA Price.com. PALA Price.com. You can sow there two ways. If you're a PayPal user, you can sow on PayPal. If you are not a PayPal user, you can use any major credit card and use the Cash App link that's right underneath PayPal. Those of you guys who are regular Periscopers, you would mind typing that web address in for everybody to see. That's PaulaPrice.com. We encourage you to sow a seed into this tonight. We are here every Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. You've been listening and you've been tuning into Before the Garden Live. If you do not have this book, you have got to get your hands on this. You can purchase your very own copy at drpaulaaprice.com. This book is by Dr. Paula Price. It was released moving us. Amen. And so I encourage you, get your copy. You can also go to your local bookstore. You can get a copy of Before the Garden anywhere. You can go to BarnesandNoble.com, Books a Million, Amazon.com, anybody that sells books has it. Well, we encourage you to get your copy and get it fast and plan to be here with us every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. for Before the Garden Live. Here's how you can get in touch with Prophet Pamela and what she's doing and keep up with her. You can follow her on Facebook.com/TallerPrize, or you can follow her on Twitter @PrizePaula. That's her handle on Twitter, @PrizePaula. If this is your very first time hearing her, what a blessing. Now you know, you can put in your Periscope to join her here every Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. Again, I'm going to give you that website, PaulaPrize.com. That's where you can sow seed. We're doing that in the house right now, getting an offering ready, and I really encourage you to do that tonight. And before I bring Prophet Paula back for prayer, I want to give you just a few other announcements. Dr. Paula Price will be on live on Periscope tomorrow night for Prophetic Ed at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. And we want to tell you, you do not want to miss out on that broadcast, all right? So you want to join Dr. Paula Price tomorrow live on Periscope. You can follow Dr. Price on Periscope but at Dr. Paula Price. So she's going to be live tomorrow at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. All of you who are our tweeters on Twitter, follow Paula on Twitter. Follow Chief Prophet Paula on Twitter. Again, her handle there is @PrizePaula. Show her some love on Twitter. Let her know that you tuned into the broadcast tonight. And we would love to hear your feedback. So you can hashtag Before the Garden Live. Hashtag Before the Garden Live and let us know your feedback. Facebook, we love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for joining us live on Facebook. Prophet Paula will be back next Wednesday night at 7:30. We're going to go ahead and shift now into prayer. So don't move. Come on, pray for you. We're going to bring Prophet Paula back for prayer. Amen. We had a great night. We talked about some things that I think that we need to understand and know about long before the garden and who we are. I mean, if that's what's important, the whole essence of this is that you would know who you are and can defend who you are. And so tonight, I'm going to close this out in prayer and cover you all who, you know, really are impressing God, wanting to press into this thing, wanting to know God on a deeper level, wanting to know God on a greater level. And not just settle for the common. Because some of you guys are above that. You want to not leave that like it's, you know, a high and mighty thing. It's about getting high in God. It's about going to the highest heights that He has for us. It's about us stepping into our place and taking full advantage of what it means to be seated in heavenly places. Amen? God, I thank you tonight. I thank you for these watchers. I thank you for these warriors, God. And I call them warriors for the salvation is a work. It's not always as easy as we would like it to be, God. Because there's so many things rivaling for our affection towards you, rivaling for our service towards you, our loyalty to you, our faithfulness to you, God. There's so many rivals that you have to your name and to your glory. So many imposters, so many delusions, so many wannabes, God. And I thank you today that you're giving us the ability to know who you are. I thank you, God, that everybody that's been watching, everybody that's on this journey with us, God, I thank you that you're giving them the spirit of discernment, that you, Father God, your own power, the power that is able to keep, the power that is able to sustain, the power that is able to conform and transform us into the essence of who you are, God. I thank you that that is coming into us. Yes, God, coming alive in them today, that this thing is coming into full bloom in their life, that what started as a grain of a mustard seed is becoming the full measure and stature of everything that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that the power of the new creation is going to be at work in them, God, that it's not going to be eclipsed by the things of this world, that you're giving them, Father God, the ability to live out and walk out the mystery of godliness and God-likeness, God, because we are your children. We are an extension of who you are. We are your descendants, God, and we are called to be just life and why you can be who you are today in Him.